A Pennsylvania woman in a desperate search for her missing sister made a horrific discovery.
Caitlin Harp, a young mother from Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, suddenly vanished. And it was her sister, Heather Lane, who knew something was wrong first.
We did not find her still.
Dozens of investigators were tight-lipped about what they were up to.
And they had no new information, but something wasn't right. Something's wrong with Caitlin.
And now, someone is behind bars.
Hey, true crime besties. Welcome back to an all-new episode of Serialistly. On June 20th, 2025, it was a very normal summer day for 33-year-old Heather Lane, or at least it started out as a normal summer day, but it very quickly turned into something much different. You see, Heather was a twin, and she and her twin sister, Caitlin Harp, were best friends, just completely inseparable, glued together, you know, what do they call it, like twin magic, but just super close, of course. And you, I'm sure, have heard the stereotypes about twins who finish each other's sentences. Well, that was pretty much Heather and Caitlin. They weren't just close. They were the kind of twins who talked every single day. And every morning usually started out the exact same way for them. A selfie, a message, some kind of check-in or text. It was their routine. They were in constant contact. So when Heather woke up that morning and there was no selfie, no text message, no Snapchat opened, nothing at all, it felt very different. It was just so far off from their normal routine. Also, Caitlin knew that this is something that Heather would worry about, not hearing from her sister, so she would never want her to worry for no reason. So hours go by, and still, she's not hearing from her sister. So now this is where concern starts to turn into panic. She hadn't received any text messages. There hadn't been any social media activity. In fact, Caitlin hadn't been active on Facebook for at least 8 hours. So then Heather checked an app that they both used where Caitlin's location would be tracking. I don't know if this was Find My Friends. I don't know if it was a different app like Life360 or what, but they had tracking on each other. And the last ping from Caitlin was at 7:32 p.m. the night before, which with that ping, all the app said was, quote, last location or phone turned off. Now, I have to say, I don't know if you track your friends or your family, but I do. My family and I, we all track each other, and my husband and I don't track any friends. However, I'm going to just quickly go off course here and share a personal little anecdote because I do believe it is important to track your friends and family. I shared this, I think, when I was on tour back in 2024. I track my dad. My dad lives out of state, and my dad had unfortunately suffered from quite a few strokes over the years. And so my brother, sister, and I, we all had his location. We would check in on him. And there was one morning when I woke up in October. I woke up and I felt like this weird gut feeling like something's wrong. I haven't heard from dad in a while. He hasn't been responding to my texts, which also wasn't entirely unlike him. Sometimes he would leave me on read. That was just his personality. But I went to the Find My app on my phone. And very similar to this story, it said, location last updated from, I think it was at that point, 2 days earlier. And I was like, now that's weird. I know that he would have charged his phone. He charges it every night. He plugs it in. So to make a long story short, and I'm not trying to like derail this completely, but I just want to draw on my experience to share with you why I believe it is so important to track your loved ones, is because I ended up calling him, trying to get a hold of him. His phone wasn't, it was not going, it was going straight to voicemail. He wasn't answering. He wasn't responding to texts. So I believed, okay, his phone must have died. That's why his location's not updating. That's why I haven't heard from him. We ended up calling in a wellness check in the state he lived in. He lived in Nevada at the time. And they rushed to his house. They found him on the floor. He had had another stroke. He had been on the floor at that point without food and water for nearly 5 days. They don't even know how he survived going through that. And unfortunately, I'm not going to go into all of the details over the course of the next 3 weeks, but then we put him on hospice and he passed away. But my point being, I know we talk about gut feelings a lot and your intuition. And that morning I woke up with a horrible gut feeling, and then the Find My app really solidified that and helped us put things into action to figure out what was going on. And so it's just a reminder that obviously your intuition is there for a reason. It is your first line of defense in things, but also the Find My app or Life 360 or whatever app you use for tracking. Not that I think everybody needs to track everyone in like an unhealthy way, but I do think it's important, especially with your parents and with loved ones, because it really can open the door to and give answers to things that you otherwise may not be able to get insight on. So sorry, I know I derailed that for a moment, and I just wanted to, I don't know, draw on my personal experience with that. So anyway, Heather was checking the app. She had looked on social media and Caitlin wasn't active on anything. And then of course on Find My, it said that the last activity was from the night before at 7:32 p.m. when it said last location or phone turned off. Now, Caitlin wasn't someone who would just shut her phone off or disappear. She was a mother of five. She was a wife. And no matter what was going on in her life, she never would just drop off the face of the earth without telling her twin sister, Heather. Never. So Heather knew that something was wrong with her sister, and not in that kind of vague, you know, maybe I'm overthinking it kind of way, but that innate feeling, the kind of way where your stomach completely drops and you can't explain how, but you just know that something's wrong. So she did the most logical thing that she could think of. She reached out to Caitlin's husband. Maybe he knew where she was. Maybe he knew what happened. Maybe her phone broke. Maybe there was some sort of explanation. So he then sent her a screenshot of a text that Caitlin had sent him that morning, meaning she was active after that last ping from the night before. And the message said, "I love you so much, but I can't. I need a break. I'm taking a bag and I'll get a hold of you in a couple of days." However, from that moment on, again, call it sisterly instinct, twin instinct, whatever it was, Heather believed that Caitlin had not run off. She believed that something far worse had happened. And that gut feeling led her down a path that would turn into a desperate search, one that stretched far beyond anything that she had ever imagined. A search that would uncover secrets, strange turns, and eventually something that no one was prepared for. And I was personally so moved by her determination, her strength, her sleuthing skills, and I knew that we needed to reach out to her and see if she wanted to firsthand share her story with us. And she did.
Hi, I'm Heather Lane. I'm the twin sister of Caitlin Lane Harp.
And before, when I said that Heather and Caitlin couldn't go a day without speaking to one another, Heather told me that that was not an exaggeration.
Every day we had a conversation. Every single day. So we were, 3 years ago, she moved down to Bloomsburg, which from us is about 2 hours away. But that didn't stop us from talking every single day, whether it was on FaceTime, Snapchatting. It was like we were just, it was like we were with each other.
Heather and Caitlin were so close, which you can imagine how strange it was when Heather didn't hear back from Caitlin on the morning of June 20th, 2025.
I messaged her good morning, like we would always do, send her a selfie. And I went on my day like everything was normal. I didn't think of anything until it was about noon. And I'm like, I haven't even heard from Caitlin yet. Like, what's going on? So I sent her another message. That's when I realized that she wasn't active on Facebook. Oh, that's weird. So the first thing I did was I looked at my Snapchat to see if she opened my selfie, and she didn't. Right after that, I looked at my Life 360, and it was shut off the night before on Thursday at 7:32 p.m. At that moment, my heart dropped.
Now, as I said, since the twins were so close, they did share their location with each other. And I know, I think I earlier said it might have been on Find My, but it was Life 360. So that's the app that they used to track one another. And usually when you get on the app, it'll take a second or two to update. But then, you know, the little circle going around or whatever's happening will update and it'll show where that person's phone is. Kind of like a GPS ping. However, there are also a few exceptions to that and when that won't happen. As I mentioned in my personal story with my dad. If you lose service or if you shut your phone off, the app won't give you that live update. It'll only show you where the phone last was when it was powered on or when it had service last. But again, it's worth noting that Caitlin wasn't someone who would just randomly turn her phone off. I mean, I think that goes for most people in today's day and age. We're on our phones constantly and we're using them for pretty much everything. Social media, email, texting, school pickup. I use mine actually when I'm in the carpool line for school pickup because I have a special QR code. It's become a necessity, whether we like that or not. It really has for most people. And I don't know a single person, now that I think of it, who turns their phone off just for fun, even to sleep. I personally always leave my phone on silent no matter what. I think maybe my brother turns his off at night, but I think he just puts it on silent. But I don't know anybody who just like randomly in the daytime will turn their phone off for no reason. Maybe again, silencing their notifications, sure, but all the way off, I don't know. It just very rarely happens anymore. So that's why Heather was feeling frantic by this point. But there was also a part of her that maybe worried that she was overreacting, or maybe even hopeful that she was overreacting. Caitlin was a busy person. She was a wife to her husband, Vincent, and a mother of five. So there were days when being active on Facebook was probably the least of her concerns or what she had time for. She was clearly juggling a lot. But still, sometimes you just know when something is off. And Heather, she knew.
The first thing I did is I called my mom and I told her I'm about to call the cops. Something's wrong with Caitlin. She's not answering me. She hasn't been active.
So then Heather reached out to her brother-in-law, Vincent. And it just made logical sense for him to be the next person that Heather would turn to. But in the meantime, she also called 911. And what she learned was not only extremely concerning, but it was the beginning of the nightmare to come.
I send her husband a message. I said, if Caitlin doesn't call me in 5 minutes, I'm calling the cops. He sends me a thumbs up. I call the cops and I'm talking to them, explaining to them the Facebook not being active, the Life 360 shut off. And they say, well, that's funny. We were just at his house an hour ago at Fairview because him and his dad made a report that the electric company stole something from their property because they just bought this property there. And I'm like, oh, well, I bet you guys didn't see Caitlin there, did you? And they're like, well, no, I was the one there and I didn't see her.
As Heather had been on the phone with the authorities, Vincent had finally text messaged her back. However, his explanation, it didn't make much sense to Heather at all. Not to mention the fact that when he got Heather's first message, all he could do was give it a reaction, a thumbs up, which is where you hold down the message that you receive and it gives you options of ways to react, whether it's a thumbs up, thumbs down, a heart, a question mark, exclamation marks to emphasize the message, whatever it may be. So he had just given it a thumbs up. Then, now he finally responds. And it was even more concerning at that point.
Vinny messages me back and he says, yeah, she's okay. She left with a friend the night before. And then she sent me a text and I got it at 5 a.m. He's like, I'm going to send it to you. 2 seconds later, I received a screenshot and that's when I snapped. I told the officer, I said, someone needs to go over there and find my sister. I said, because this text message isn't from her.
So the message from Caitlin's phone said that it was sent at 3:48 a.m. and it said the following. I love you so much, but I can't. I'm sorry for talking to them guys on Snap, but I need a break. I'm going to have my friend pick me up. I'm taking a bag and I'll get a hold of you in a couple of days to get the rest of my shit. Please don't destroy my shit. I need my space to get out of my head. So at this point now, with what Vincent has shared with Heather, his story was basically that the night before, he and Caitlin got into an argument after dinner, and from the sounds of that screenshot, it sounds like the fight could have been about Snapchat, possible infidelity or flirting or something like that. And then after the fight, he claims that Caitlin left, and that is when she apparently sent those messages to him that he then shared with her sister, Heather. Now, right away, I've got to say, Heather's bullshit radar was going off, and for a couple of different reasons. Number one, this screenshot says that the message was sent at almost 4 a.m., which, remember, was strange, because according to the Life 360 app, Caitlin's phone had been turned off at 7:32 p.m. the night before, and it hadn't been updated at all since then. And I'm not as familiar with Life 360, but I am familiar with Find My on Apple. And even if I turned my phone off at 7 o'clock and then turned it on for 2 minutes at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m, my location is going to update. It just triggers it. It does it in the background when you're not even thinking about it. So if Caitlin had, let's say, turned her phone off when the Life 360 last showed an update at 7:32 p.m. and then turned it back on at almost 4 a.m. to send Vincent that text message, Life 360 would have updated it at the exact same time. That would have been the last ping, but it never did update. And Heather knew this. She's smart. She understood that this was not right. This wasn't making sense and it was not adding up. And Heather was ready to call Vincent out on these inconsistencies right away.
I messaged Vincent and I said, Vinny, go to Verizon and ask them if Caitlin sent you that text message, there should be a log on your phone and they could see where it was sent.
Now, from my understanding, and I obviously don't work at Verizon or have much experience, but those logs on the back end are pretty accurate. Again, from my understanding, I don't think that they can be altered or deleted in any type of way. So Heather says that Vincent does what she instructed him to do. He goes to Verizon, checks if those messages were really sent from her, and then he comes back to her saying, yeah, well, Verizon had no records of Caitlin ever sending that message. In fact, it didn't seem like anyone had sent that message because according to Verizon's text logs, the message just simply did not exist.
Verizon told him that text message wasn't showing up on Caitlin's phone number. Well, no shit, it's not. So you sent it.
Now, by this point, Heather was fully convinced that everything that Vincent was telling her was not adding up and was either 100% complete bullshit or not the complete truth. It felt more like a cover-up than the truth. And sure, that might sound like a big leap to jump from one thing to the next and say, oh, he's 100% lying, when there could maybe be some sort of digital explanation for it or some sort of glitch in the system. But Heather said that from the very moment that she realized that Caitlin was missing, something felt off. And like I mentioned earlier, Heather and Caitlin had always been incredibly close. So close that when something wasn't right, she could feel it almost instantly.
We always had that twin bond. So we had that like telepathic kinetic sense that I would always know what she was thinking just by a look she would give me. And that bond.
At this point, this wasn't just a case of somebody leaving after a fight. None of it made sense. Not the phone being off, not the timing, and definitely not the text message. And the more that Heather pushed, the clearer it became. This wasn't Caitlin choosing to disappear. Something had already gone very, very wrong. You guys know that I love anything that makes life easier. And shopping happens to be one of those things. I feel like I just don't have the time or energy anymore to put outfits together, to go shopping, to do all of that. So I've been using Daily Look lately, and I'm actually obsessed because it's like having a real personal stylist who actually understands my style better than I even do. I just got my latest box and they absolutely nailed it. They sent me this like lightweight blazer, some elevated basics that actually fit me correctly, and pieces that just instantly make me look way more put together, even when I wake up and I'm exhausted and the last thing I want to do is put together an outfit. And what I love is this isn't just like algorithm styling. These are real stylists who are curating pieces for your body shape, lifestyle, and preferences. And all you do is fill out a quiz, then they send you up to 12 premium pieces right to your door. You try everything on at home, keep what you love, and send back the rest with free shipping both ways. So it's time to get your own personal stylist with Daily Look. Head to dailylook.com to take your style quiz and use code SERIALISTLY for 50% off your first order. Once again, that's dailylook.com for 50% off, and make sure that you use my promo code SERIALISTLY so you get the deal and they know I sent you. Again, dailylook.com, promo code SERIALISTLY. Okay, I recently had one of those moments where it was the morning, I went to look at my bank account, check my balance, and I realized I was still paying for subscriptions that I completely forgot existed. Random apps, streaming services, memberships, and you know how they get you where they're like, oh, it's a free trial, and then they charge you every month, but then you totally forget to cancel after you use them for what you downloaded them for? Story of my life. So somehow they were all still charging me every single month. And that's what I love, love, love about Rocket Money. It's honestly been a huge game changer in like saving money and figuring out where my money is going, because it tracks subscriptions, monitors spending, categorizes transactions, and it just gives you a full picture of where your money is actually going. Because the little charges, they do add up super fast. I also love getting alerts for any weird charges or upcoming bills because, you know, sometimes I forget there are auto renewals consistently coming up and things like that. And it just like keeps me alert and in the know. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitor your savings, grow your savings, monitor your spending, help lower your bills even. It's fantastic. So let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join RocketMoney.com/AE. That's RocketMoney.com/AE. RocketMoney.com/AE. Now, as twins, Heather and Caitlin had been through all of the amazing life moments together. The ups, the big moments, the memories, all of the great things. But they also, of course, had been there for each other during the rockier moments, the peaks and valleys, all of it. And one of those being that Heather and Caitlin had been teen moms. Caitlin had her first child when she was only 16 years old. And the following year, when they were 17 years old, Heather had her first child. Which, being a teen mom is no joke. I mean, being a mom in general is far from easy, no matter the age, but being a teen mom, that is incredibly tough. But despite the ups and downs and the struggles in life, in teen pregnancy, in motherhood, Caitlin and Heather always had each other. They leaned on each other. They were best friends. Now, fast forward to 2005. Caitlin at this point was in a very happy relationship with somebody that she saw a future with. But then tragedy struck.
In 2005, Caitlin had a boyfriend. fiance. They were going to get married, and he was in a car accident. He just left Caitlin in the house, and they were not even a mile down the road, and he had a car accident, and it killed him. Caitlin heard the sirens, and she ran to where the accident was, and she ran to the scene and seen him unalive from the car accident. And it was ever since that relationship, it's like she just, it broke her, you know, and then she got into drugs. Then eventually it led to another relationship and another child, and then another relationship and her fifth child. But she really went back to her fourth relationship with her fourth baby daddy, and she lost her kids. And that relationship was also domestic violence. She came out stronger than ever. She was whole 2 years without relapsing. She had her kids back, a stable job.
I mean, this was devastating for Caitlin to go through. She was heartbroken. It was traumatizing. It was the worst. And just as Caitlin was getting her life back on track, that's when she met someone new, a man named Vincent.
In 2022, Brittany, Caitlin's best friend, invited her to a family reunion. And at that family reunion, Caitlin started talking to Vincent. We're talking for maybe a month, which I didn't know at that point either, because he was still working, her kids were home then. It was a whole month, and that weekend, one weekend after a month, she met Vincent at Motorama with her middle child, and he had his two children. And they stayed the night with Vincent that night.
So Vincent and Caitlin had crossed paths with each other at a point when they were both kind of vulnerable for similar reasons. Like I said, Caitlin's fiance had passed away in that car accident, and Vincent's first wife had also passed away at a young age. So they had this bond and this understanding of what it was like to experience a loss like that. And within a year of reconnecting and starting their relationship, Caitlin and Vincent decided to get married, which I have to say, it isn't the most insane timeline that I've ever heard before. We've of course seen people get married under way different circumstances and in a much shorter amount of time. I only mention it because this was something that Heather specifically brought up about their relationship. And I don't want to say that she saw it as a red flag, but I do think that the quickness of it all did shock Caitlin's family. However, Caitlin didn't think anything of it. She was happy, which was something that she hadn't felt in a really long time, especially after dealing with grief and addiction struggles. But then Heather said that not long into Caitlin and Vincent's marriage, Caitlin began confiding in her more and more, saying that Vincent was not the knight in shining armor that she originally thought that he was. And Caitlin explained to her that Vincent had a really bad temper behind closed doors. More than that, though, he was someone who just got extremely jealous and made issues out of nothing, even though, according to Heather, he wasn't the most loyal person himself. And over the 3 years when Caitlin and Vincent were together, there were a lot of times when they were on and off, and they would separate, they would come back together, they would, you know, be in and out of each other's lives. Apparently, too, Vincent was known to go back and forth between Caitlin and his second wife and mother of his child. So this three-year marriage, it wasn't one that had been solid and full of love the entire time. It had way more ups and downs, plenty of separations, lots of toxicity involved. Plus, Vincent himself had a past with drugs, which is worrying for someone like Caitlin, who was working very hard to stay clean. But there were also things about Vincent and Caitlin's marriage that were even worse than a lack of loyalty and anger issues. Vincent was allegedly abusive toward Caitlin during the entire duration of their marriage. He had even pepper sprayed her before, which, can you imagine that? I mean, obviously abuse is abuse, but imagine being pepper sprayed too on top of that. It is awful. He even once had broken her ribs because it was so bad. So Vincent's bad temper, it wasn't just verbal, it wasn't just these arguments or these spats or these yelling matches, which is still abuse, don't get me wrong, but it was also allegedly physical abuse, bad physical abuse.
There were red flags in that relationship from the beginning. It wasn't like screaming and yelling and like starting to push her. And then it was after a year into after their marriage is when he started laying his hands on her. And then she would leave, come back for a couple months, and then he would pawn her back into coming back. But every time he would leave, he would go back with his baby mama. So it was always back and forth between the two.
Heather said that there was one time when she had tried to call Caitlin's phone, but it went straight to voicemail, almost like it had been turned off. Not too long after, Caitlin ended up calling her back, saying that Vincent had turned off her phone, almost as if it was a punishment for something that they had been arguing over. So this actually was the reason that Heather and Caitlin had decided to both download the Life 360 app. And Heather described this exact moment by saying, "The very next day, I downloaded Life 360 on our phones, knowing that the next time her phone got turned off, I would at least be able to know where my sister was and that she was safe." So this wasn't for safety out in public or to make sure that somebody is driving home safely and arrives to their destination as planned. This wasn't fearing that some random person could snatch either one of them up. This was an internal threat. This was a marital threat. And I mean, I'm sure that they used Life 360 for those purposes as well. But the point is, they were using it so that Heather could know that Caitlin was safe from her own husband. So needless to say, things between Caitlin and Vincent were not as magical as Caitlin had once hoped that they would be, which made Vincent the top suspect, at least on Heather's list. Heather knew after hearing Vincent's version of events that she needed to go to the police. She needed to share everything that she knew. So it was around 4 p.m. on June 20th that she called the Hemlock Township Police Department, and she requested a welfare check on Caitlin. Patrolman Bradley Sharrow headed to Caitlin and Vincent's house on Fairview Drive in Hemlock Township, where the two of them were living together. In fact, they had just recently bought the house together earlier that month. Then once the patrolman arrived, he knocked on the front door.
The officers, they go over to do the welfare check. Well, her husband wasn't there, but somebody came down and said he was somewhere with his dad. So what all they do is they call her husband and ask them where Caitlin is. And he gives them the same story that he told me, that he got this screenshot, that they got into a fight, and she had a friend come pick her up. The officer comes out and he's like, "The house looks immaculate." I said, "Well, no shit. They just moved in a week ago." I thought Vinny told the officer that she had 11 totes there and that two were missing. And the officer's like, "Yeah, there's two missing." And I'm like thinking to myself, how are you going to know that there was 11 there to begin with and that two are missing? You weren't there before, unless you were, because you were there for that phone call an hour before I realized it on Friday. There's something very fishy.
Vincent told the police that Caitlin wasn't there. He explained again that they had gotten into an argument and claimed that the last time that he saw her was sometime between 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. on the night of the 19th. But to Heather, this still just was not adding up.
"Well, did she take her car? Where's her phone? Where's her purse?" He's like, "No, she took all that in her car." I'm like, "But you just told me that a friend came and picked her up."
Vincent claimed that he didn't even realize that she was gone until 5 a.m. the next morning, when he woke up and saw that she wasn't there. And then, of course, he also claims to have seen that text message that she sent. So that was Vincent's initial story. Or, really, stories. Because Heather said that he has given a few different stories. The one he gave her, the one he gave the authorities, which was close to the same, but the added 9 to 11 p.m. timeline of last seeing her, and then the story that he later gave a reporter. Vincent allegedly told this reporter that the last time he saw Caitlin was at midnight that night, saying that the two of them went out on the balcony to smoke together. So that is three different stories in a very short period of time, and they're pretty contradictory. The last one especially, too. Yet still, Vincent told the police that this kind of behavior from Caitlin wasn't exactly uncommon. He hinted that because of her past with drugs, she was a flight risk. She was unpredictable, unstable. He claimed that there had even been a few times when they would get into an argument and Caitlin would leave, but then within a few days, she would be back home, and it was all water under the bridge. So he really wasn't acting too concerned about where she was or if she was safe. And technically, what he was saying wasn't exactly untrue, but it is a complex situation. Now, I mentioned a little bit ago that Vincent was not very great to Caitlin and that there were times when she would leave him, but they would pretty much always talk things out, get back together, and it was a lot of back and forth. Heather had said that even though Caitlin and Vincent had just purchased the house that they were living in a few weeks before going missing, Caitlin still had an apartment somewhere else that she would go to on occasion, because apparently that is how often they would argue and split up and need distance from one another. So was it normal for them to argue and for Caitlin to leave Vincent? I mean, yeah, yes, technically, yeah. But what Heather was arguing was that even during those times when Caitlin would leave on her own and go to the apartment, she would still be in contact with everybody else in her life, just not Vincent. There was never once a time when she just ghosted everyone for days on end and then showed back up a few days later like nothing had ever happened. Even back when she was heavily into her addiction, that never happened. Even when she and Vincent were fighting. So, when you put it that way, this behavior was far from normal. Because that was really the problem with Vincent's version of events. It only made sense if you ignored everything that Heather knew about her sister, if you only took his word for it, right? Caitlin may have left after arguments before, yes, but she never disappeared. She didn't shut off her phone, she didn't cut off her family and leave behind nothing but one suspicious, ominous screenshot, leaving behind her children. And as investigators started digging deeper, Vincent's story wasn't just looking shaky, it was starting to fall apart. Now, according to Heather, because it hadn't been 24 hours yet, law enforcement actually wouldn't classify Caitlin as a missing person at first. Even after Heather had requested that welfare check and Caitlin wasn't there to be checked on, they still did not classify her as a missing person. The Hemlock Police Department was apparently still looking into Caitlin's case, but only for 2 days before the Columbia County District Attorney requested that Caitlin's case be reassigned to the Pennsylvania State Police. This was on June 22nd, and this is also when Caitlin was officially listed as a missing person. Now, I feel that anytime a new police force gets involved in a case, it is a pretty big deal, right? It kind of sparks the question of why are they getting involved? Why is this being handed over? Is this going to be classified as something else? What's going on? But state police were keeping Caitlin's case very private, or at least the updates in her case. They didn't do a press conference explaining why. They weren't commenting to any news sources about the case. So I'm not even entirely sure what the driving factor was to finally list her as a missing person, but thank God they did it, regardless of what that reason was. And right away, the state police got to work on Caitlin's case, and they really were making up for lost time with those 2 days. That same day, as she was classified as a missing person on the 22nd, they completed an emergency request for Caitlin's cell phone records. And the reason and the thought process behind this was so that they could get a better idea of when her phone was last used, also in what location. The records showed that Caitlin's phone was near their home on Fairview Drive on the night of the 19th, and it remained there until 9:25 p.m. Now, that could mean a couple of things. Vincent had said, after all, that he last saw Caitlin sometime between 9 and 11 p.m., so could he have actually last seen her at 9:25 p.m.? Possibly. It's not that far off. Does that mean that Caitlin did actually leave the house around that time? However, it didn't necessarily mean that Vincent's story was the truth. Just because her phone was last there at 9:25 p.m., it certainly didn't mean that Caitlin was the one using it. So the next best thing for the state police to do was to interview Vincent. See what he had to say. So just after midnight on June 23rd, Vincent was interviewed, and this interview was very telling. And he shared with the officials some of the same things that we've already gone over: the fight, when he claims to have last seen her, the text message that she allegedly sent him. But here's the thing. Since this was a formal interview, Vincent was asked way more in-depth questions, and some of those questions he just could not keep up with. He was very inconsistent with his story when it came to before, during, and after Caitlin's disappearance, and even gave a few examples. Some of the inconsistencies are smaller, but in the grand scheme of things, they are really weird. Like how Vincent at first claimed that on the morning of June 20th, he talked to a counselor that he was seeing, but then went back and said that he actually didn't talk to them that day. Or how Vincent claimed that he had his phone with him on the morning of the 20th, but then changed his story to say that he actually had left his phone at his office that morning. Which I can't help but notice how both of those things that he was inconsistent about involved his phone. Almost like he was starting to realize that phone records can be pulled and easily tracked. Which again, that's just my opinion, but I have seen it a time or two. Now, of course, these things don't mean that he necessarily did something to Caitlin, but anytime somebody can't keep up with their own stories and timelines and versions of events, it definitely is worth mentioning. Now, potentially the biggest red flag in Vincent's interview was when he was asked to give a full, in-depth retelling of what he had done on the 19th and 20th. The investigators wanted to know where he had gone, what time. I mean, the normal things when you're looking into someone as a potential person of interest. And Vincent gave an answer. But the investigators learned pretty quickly that Vincent had left out a pretty huge chunk of time on the day of the 20th. On June 20th, the day that Heather first tried to report her sister Caitlin as a missing person. Surveillance footage captured Vincent at a gas station in Danville. Now you might be thinking, okay, Annie, fine, it's a gas station. People go to gas stations all the time. However, Vincent never mentioned going to the gas station that day when the investigators had asked him to tell him everywhere that he had been. He just conveniently left that out. So it was already strange. But what he did at the gas station? Even stranger. In the surveillance footage, Vincent pulled up to one of the gas pumps before walking inside. And you could see that he was walking around the store, going up and down each aisle like he was looking for something specific. And then he finally went to the register empty-handed. And upon further investigation, the detectives learned that it was what Vincent had said and asked for that was really the red flag, not what he didn't pull from the shelves. Apparently, he had asked the person who was working the front register if they sold gloves, which the cashier said, no, sorry, we don't sell gloves. Now, a normal person who's looking for something and realizing that the gas station doesn't sell it might be like, oh, okay, bummer, I have to go look somewhere else, like, I'm gonna leave, right? But not Vincent. He was desperate enough for a pair of gloves that he asked the cashier if he could just have one of the pairs that the workers used, then emphasized that he really needed them and he only needed one pair. So the cashier, thinking, okay, they were just helping this guy out, he doesn't need a whole box of gloves, he just wants one pair of gloves, like, let me help this guy out, he gave Vincent one pair of the gloves that they had in the back. And with that, Vincent was then seen walking out the front door to his silver Chevy Silverado. It was parked right there still at one of the gas pumps. Then he left. He didn't buy gas. He didn't get a drink. He didn't get a snack. All he needed was that pair of gloves. Now, I don't think I really even need to say how suspicious this whole scenario is, given the timing and the fact that the investigators had to find out about this little field trip on their own, that he was not forthcoming with that information, and it just was not looking good for Vincent. So that was on the 20th. The state police got involved on the 22nd, and Vincent was interviewed in the early morning hours of the 23rd. So you would think that being the main person that the investigators were pretty much looking into, that Vincent would try to lay low, try to kind of like keep a low profile. But again, not him. One day after he was officially questioned by the authorities, on the 24th, he sold his 2022 off-road UTV vehicle. His wife was missing, yet he was selling some of his, like, dirt bike riding toys or whatever you would call it. It was not the best look, not at all. And anybody who notices a transaction like that or a potential suspect selling something, they're going to clock that and they're going to want to look into it. And sure enough, the UTV was brought into the state police lab on June 25th, and they immediately tested it for any potential evidence. Which, anyone want to take a guess? What results came back from those tests? Well, if you guessed they would get a test result reading positive for human blood, you guessed right. It was on both the driver and the passenger seat of the UTV. So not only was Vincent selling his UTV days after his wife disappeared, but that same UTV also had human blood on it. Not animal blood from hunting or anything like that, human blood. Now, what's interesting about this UTV is that during the investigation, detectives actually looked into some of the neighbors' trail cams near Caitlin and Vincent's house, and they saw him driving the UTV as recently as the 18th. Now, at the same time as they were looking at this footage, they didn't know that he had sold the UTV. They were just trying to look into whether or not he was doing anything suspicious in the woods near their house. Now, that's not me saying that anything suspicious went down on the 18th when he was caught on those trail cams, just to be clear, but it did show that the UTV was up and running and that Vincent clearly had some kind of use of it, which most people who sell something like that would sell it because they either don't use it anymore, maybe it's broken, they're selling it for parts, who knows? But obviously, that was not the situation here. So that begs the question, why sell it? The timing of everything was just another red flag to add to the list. And that was even before they found the traces of human blood on it. So at this point, the red flags, they weren't just piling up. They were stacking into something much bigger. Because now you've got inconsistent stories, missing time, surveillance footage, and physical evidence. And when you lay all of it out side by side, it starts to paint a very specific picture, one that the investigators just could not ignore, and one that was about to lead them somewhere that no one was prepared for. You guys already know that I don't do hangovers. I can't. And now that I just became a year older last week, it's even more so true. So lately, I've been looking for ways to better, you know, unwind that don't leave me feeling terrible the next day. And that is what I like about Willy's. It gives you that relaxed, social, uplifting vibe, but without all of the heaviness that comes with alcohol. And honestly, it's become one of my favorite ways to just either decompress after a long day, or if I'm going out with friends, but I don't want to be hungover, it still makes me feel social. It's a low-calorie, low-sugar alcohol alternative, and it actually works, delivering a fast-acting, euphoric social buzz without the regrets that come with alcohol. And Willy's social tonics come in 5-milligram and 10-milligram doses with a best-in-class flavor experience. I mean, so smooth and so balanced that you barely even realize that you're drinking a THC product at all. And it's also, you know, founded by Willie Nelson, the person who knows everything about this stuff, right? One shot of Willy's helps you relax, unwind, and de-stress. Willy's also sold out 3 times in the first 6 months with over 50,000 happy customers. And the good news, they just restocked. Willy's ships directly to your doorstep in over 40 states. So order now at drinkwillys.com and use code SERIALISTLY for 20% off your first order plus free shipping on orders over $95. Drinkwillys.com, code SERIALISTLY, and enjoy life in the high country. You guys know sleep is everything for me because I don't really traditionally sleep super well, and I go to bed at like 7:30. That's not a joke. I try to get in bed early because sometimes it's difficult for me to sleep through the night, whether the kids are waking me up, I have things on my mind from work, you know, the cases I cover, whatever it may be. And when I don't sleep well, I'm useless the next day. But I've told you about Helix Mattress before. I've had this mattress since 2020 or 2021, I can't remember. It is a dream cloud bed, okay? It is so comfy, so much so that when my mom stayed over and watched the kids, she loved it so much, so I ended up getting her a Helix Mattress too. I had put one in the guest bedroom here for when we have our in-laws sleep over. I mean, I genuinely sleep so much deeper and wake up way less throughout the night. And what I love is that Helix doesn't do a one-size-fits-all mattress. You take a sleep quiz, very quick one, and they match you with the right mattress for your sleep style. And then they ship it directly to your door. Plus, they have a 120-night sleep trial and a lifetime warranty, which makes the whole process feel way less intimidating. I was matched with the Sunset Luxe, and again, live and die by it. It is the best mattress on the market. And honestly, this is the perfect time to upgrade your sleep because their Memorial Day sale is happening right now. Go to helixsleep.com/serialistly for 27% off site-wide. That's helixsleep.com/serialistly for 27% off site-wide. helixsleep.com/serialistly. So now we're caught up to June 25th. The state police were still doing their investigation, and Heather was also doing her own. She continued to hang flyers, do as much press as possible, and she was holding search parties for anyone who was interested in helping. She even said that she was probably stepping on the investigators' toes at some point, but that basically it had to be done. She couldn't just sit back and do nothing. She was dedicated from day one to finding her sister. Now, what's incredibly heartbreaking about that is that even at this point, just days after Caitlin went missing, Heather wasn't shy about her theories about what happened. She was more than willing to share that she knew in her heart that Vincent killed Caitlin. And of course, I say she knew very loosely because he hadn't been arrested, he hadn't been charged, he hadn't been convicted, but Heather just knew in her heart that there were no other possibilities. Her theory was that maybe they did get into an argument, or maybe Vincent was just being the asshole that she knew him to be, and ultimately that ended in Caitlin losing her life.
I don't know how it happened. Now I have my own opinions. I think he strangled her.
Regardless of the lead up, Heather believed that whatever happened, it all ended the same way. So Heather's focus was now simply on finding Caitlin's body and getting her justice, to the point that she and the rest of their family were even getting in contact with mediums who said that they were willing to give their input on the case. And I don't want to say that they were desperate for answers, but in this moment, they were open to anyone, even self-proclaimed psychics. If there was a 1% chance that it could help them find Caitlin, they were going to take that chance. And it turns out that Caitlin herself actually believed in mediums. So Heather thought, you know, it couldn't hurt to give it a try.
The month that Caitlin was living up here in Lewistown, we got very spiritual. You know, we were looking at our signs and astrology and mediums because Caitlin talked to a medium before. So when this all happened, there was a bunch of mediums that were reaching out describing what Caitlin was selling, where she was at. You know, we're skeptical, but I'm listening. I'm taking everything from everybody, every comment, everything.
All the mediums pretty much agreed on the same thing. Caitlin was no longer alive. Now, whether or not you believe in mediums or psychics and people speaking to the dead, I have to make note of this one thing because it will come back up later on. Heather described something that one of the mediums told her. And honestly, it sends chills down my spine.
They kept on bringing up about these butterflies, which butterflies have always been so significant for me and Caitlin. Growing up, chasing butterflies, we would always try to make them a home and, you know, grow caterpillars. So they were kept on saying yellow butterflies would be very significant. And that whole week prior, we'd see butterflies everywhere. There was this one medium that brought up seeing Caitlin showed a broken white fence. And when she brought this up, my dad was like, oh my goodness, on Harp Lane, there's a broken white fence across from the garage. So that was the first place that we went when we went to Harp on Sunday.
Heather and the rest of their family and friends had been doing their own searches, specifically at locations that Vincent either owned or had once owned or he was really familiar with. And because of the medium's tip, Heather knew that she needed to head straight to Vincent's old property located at 86 Harp Lane in Columbia City, Pennsylvania. And when it comes to this property, I don't want you to imagine 1 acre of land with a cozy little house right at the center of it, because it wasn't like that at all. A quick Zillow search shows that 86 Harp Lane is a whopping 38 and a half acres of land. So when Heather and the rest of the search party started to do their search, I'm not even sure if they believed that they would find anything. I mean, this was a lot of land. It was a vast space to cover, especially when you take into consideration that a lot of the land is either completely covered in trees or surrounded by them. However, that day, they did find something. Well, specifically, Heather and her dad found something.
My dad was headed down the cliff and like this brush area, which mediums were describing. So my dad went towards this brush, and whenever he did, he seen these two little yellow butterflies in the opposite direction. He checked out the brush, but then he went towards the opposite where the butterflies were. He said, if I would have went to the right of the path that I was on, the opposite side of where the butterflies were, he's like, I would have never found her.
And this is when Heather and Caitlin's dad would make the heartbreaking discovery of the body of his beloved daughter, Caitlin.
I stepped off a little bit to the path and to where the butterflies were. And that's when he walked up onto the box. He thought it was more like a big, big rock. But he's like, a rock? So then he looked up because his cliff is very steep. And he's like, maybe a rock side. But as he's walking up towards it, that's when it hits him. Like, he sees the flies and he realizes it's a metal box. He's like, a metal box? He's like, this is her. And he said he talked to her for a minute. Like, apologize, we didn't find you sooner, but we brought you home.
The box had so clearly been put there. It just looked unnatural compared to the rest of the empty, sprawling land that it was placed on. Not to mention, the box itself was on a mountainside, only 180 yards from the edge of a nearby cliff. So what are the odds of that? Heather immediately called 911 to report that her and her dad had found Caitlin. And while they waited for the officers to arrive, the family had a moment together where they got to say goodbye to their beloved daughter, twin sister, family member. It's just awful.
So we're all just sitting there waiting, having our moments. It was like so surreal. Like, the butterflies were coming up the mountain and we're all just talking about Caitlin. And I could feel her there. Like, I could just feel the peace. Like, it was such a sad moment, but there was so much peace.
When the detectives arrived and cut open the box, they found Caitlin's deceased body. It was already in a heavy state of decomposition. Luckily, though, they were able to identify her through her tattoo. Which, honestly, the accuracy of everything that the medium had said, it is just so difficult for me to grasp, truly.
Our family was supposed to find her. She was always a daddy's girl. And the way my dad found her, he stayed on that path and he was so sore. And he did. He led her straight to her.
Usually in these cases, we see news about mediums getting involved and telling people to, you know, check a creek or check the road, and it leads to a fruitless search. But this might be the one and only case that I know of where a medium got involved and it was actually pretty accurate. Because once Caitlin's body was found inside that box, this stopped being a case about whether she had walked away after an argument or disappeared on her own. That question was long gone. Now the focus shifted to something else, proving exactly who did this to her. when they did it, and whether the investigators had enough evidence to make it stick. And that is where the phone records, surveillance, and the timeline start to matter even more. All right, ladies, real talk for just a moment here, because this is something that so many women deal with, but nobody really talks about it. Hormones, workouts, stress, tight clothing, all of these things that can throw off your vaginal pH and then leave you feeling uncomfortable, insecure, just off. And that's why so many women have been turning to and love urovaginal probiotics, because they are specifically formulated to support healthy vaginal pH, odor, flora, all the good things, with researched probiotic strains plus prebiotics. And what I appreciate is that it's something proactive that you can add to your daily routine instead of just constantly reacting to problems after they already happen. There are so many incredible reviews as well, and a lot of women have said that they feel more comfortable, confident, secure, you know, confident when it comes to intimacy, and balanced after consistently taking it. And honestly, when you feel off in that area, it affects everything. And some people have reported seeing improvement in just a few weeks. So take proactive care of your health and head to opositive.com/AE or enter AE at checkout for 25% off your first purchase. That's opositive.com/AE for 25% off. I swear, every time I wear Salt and Stone, somebody asks me what perfume I'm wearing. Then they're shocked when I'm like, it's actually not a perfume. It's my deodorant. Now, I started with their discovery set because I couldn't decide on a scent. And so I was like, I need to try them all. Plus, they're small enough that you could throw them in like your travel bags and whatever you need to do. And honestly, it's just the best way to try them because you get all four scents and then you can figure out your favorite from there. But their products smell super expensive in the best way possible. I'm sure you've seen them on your feed. They have like this minimalistic branding. It looks like high-end luxury hotel or spa. And you know that feeling when you go into a spa at a hotel or something and you're like, oh my gosh, it smells so good. It's so peaceful. It's so relaxing. I wish I could like bottle this up and smell this way forever. Well, now you can. It's like these super elevated scents, but they're not overpowering. I personally love Santal, but they also have one that's like bergamot. They have so many good ones. It just depends on the vibe you want. And their deodorant genuinely works better than most natural deodorants that I've ever tried, but still smells amazing throughout the day. So try Salt and Stone's discovery set to find your signature scent. Go to saltandstone.com/AE and use code AE at checkout for 15% off your first order. That's saltandstone.com/AE and use code AE for 15% off your first order. Just hours after Caitlin's body was found, Vincent was formally arrested, and he had been the one and only person of interest throughout Caitlin's case. But there was even more that connected him to her disappearance. At some point during the state police investigation, they got access to Vincent's phone records, and this was probably the most damning evidence against him, especially once Caitlin's body was found and all of the puzzle pieces finally started coming together. So let's start on June 20th, the day that Caitlin was reported missing. We know through surveillance camera footage that Vincent went to that gas station, that he was looking for a pair of gloves, which he did end up finding. After that, his cell phone went to an area called Shade Mountain Road. Now, this road is exactly what it sounds like. It is a mountainous road that isn't very heavily traveled, and it's about 15 miles long. Now, what's interesting about Vincent being in this spot in particular is that in between 10 and 11 a.m., Vincent and his 2007 Yukon actually got stuck in the mud on the side of the road. This, again, isn't something that Vincent ever admitted to or shared with the investigators, but there is literal footage that somebody took of his vehicle being pulled out of the mud. And his cell phone also showed that he was in that same location at that time as well. After being pulled out of the mud, Vincent's phone showed that he drove back to he and Caitlin's home. However, that evening there was a 30-minute period from 6:20 p.m. to 6:50 p.m. Then Vincent went back to the exact same location, which again, this is all on the 20th. And just as a reminder, Vincent wasn't interviewed until the 23rd. And this was actually something that he was asked about. And to no one's surprise, He couldn't answer why he went to that same location two different times. However, when the investigators went back and looked at the location where his phone had pinged, they found something pretty crazy. There were drag marks at that exact location, going both in and out of the mud. So the theory is that Vincent likely dumped Caitlin's body there, then decided he needed to move it again. Maybe he went back to get the box that she was in that evening because too many people knew that he was in the area that day. I mean, there is a literal video of him and his vehicle there that day being pulled out of the mud. But after Vincent went back to that location on Shade Mountain Road, his cell phone showed that he headed back toward his house. But get this. On the way back home, he actually passed the Middleburg Police Department, and their surveillance cameras caught not only his vehicle passing by, but a big green box in the trunk of his vehicle. Now let's go over his cell phone pings on the next day, on June 21st. Vincent's cell phone showed that at 10:30 a.m., he passed the dump site where the box and Caitlin's remains were ultimately found. Then again, that same day at 6:08 p.m., his phone pinged on Hollow Road, which is the road west of Harp Lane where that dump site was located. So all of that being said, it is very likely that Caitlin's body was moved more than once. And at some point on the 21st, it was moved to its final resting place. That is until Heather and her dad found it on the 29th. So Vincent was arrested and he was charged with criminal homicide, also abuse of a corpse and tampering with physical evidence. The tampering with physical evidence portion of his charges is for allegedly moving Caitlin's body. And as you can imagine, this was a huge moment for Heather and the rest of Caitlin's family.
The day I found out Vinny was arrested was the night that we found Caitlin. He was in shackles and he was being led into the police car wearing the same clothes that he was wearing from day one. I remember because whenever he showed me his phone that first day, the same clothes. You could tell he wasn't sleeping. He didn't eat nothing. He looked, but he was finally going to jail.
Now, on paper, this case looks incredibly strong, right? Suspicious text messages, multiple conflicting stories, surveillance footage, cell phone pings, human blood in the UTV that he tried to sell, a body hidden in a metal box. However, strong cases don't always mean simple trials, because Vincent and his defense already had their own explanation for what happened. And whether that explanation would hold up or create reasonable doubt, that could end up being everything. Now, because this case is still so fresh, there has not been a trial yet, or even an official date given. However, I am curious to see how this case plays out for a few different reasons. The main one being that both Vincent and his lawyer have been pretty open about what they are claiming is the truth of what happened to Caitlin. Vincent has already argued that he didn't kill Caitlin, but now he's saying what he says is the truth of how she died. He says that on the night of the 19th, they were inhaling nitrous oxide together to get high, which, if you're not familiar with that, that's kind of like the dust off cans, or like, I think you can call it whippets when you take the whipped cream and just suck the air out and it like gives you a head rush and kind of just like want, want, want noise. So he said that they were doing that together and she accidentally overdosed and died. And that instead of just calling 911 and reporting it or trying to get someone over to the house to save her, he decided he would just cover it all up. And get this, remember how I said that Vincent had lost his first wife at a young age and that's one of the things that he and Caitlin bonded over? Well, it turns out that his first wife, Stephanie Harp, allegedly died in 2021 of an overdose. And I use the term allegedly because her family has always questioned the findings. Apparently, there was also a lot of domestic disputes in their relationship, and these aren't just allegations. It's on Vincent's record. He was charged with terroristic threats, simple assault, reckless endangerment, and harassment. So when Stephanie suddenly passed away, her family didn't necessarily believe that her death was as cut and dry as Vincent presented it to be. Now, just to clarify, those are all just rumors. Her death was ruled as an overdose and her case was closed. But after what happened to Caitlin, it definitely has people questioning it. Not to mention, I mean, two different wives dying of an overdose 4 years apart. That's a little bit suspicious, or at least, you know, curious, right? Now, do I believe Vincent's version of events of what truly happened to Caitlin? Probably not. To me, it sounds more like it's something strategic that he and his defense team are, you know, putting into play and cooking up together, especially considering that by early July 2025, Caitlin's autopsy report hadn't provided any clear answers. Because of the way that her body had been disposed of, discarded in the summer heat, it was pretty badly decomposed, as I mentioned, meaning that the coroner wasn't able to pin down what caused her death. The coroner noted that there were no obvious signs of gunshot wounds, stab wounds, or fractures to any of the extremity bones. However, they did still mark that the manner of death was homicide. The cause of death, however, was listed as undetermined.
But the cause will always be undetermined because of how bad her body was decomposed. It was the hottest week since PA that week inside that metal box, and then with the bugs and all of that nonsense. See, it was like they described it like she, her body was burnt in a fire. It wasn't burnt in a fire, but she was very, she was already deskeletonized. So the cause will always be undetermined. But I honestly feel like he strangled her, and that's what he did because he's done it before. And that's what I feel in my soul. Like, I just feel it.
I don't think, given the evidence, that Vincent is going to walk away from this completely unscathed. I really don't. But I also will be honest. I do worry about whether the prosecution will be able to prove, beyond a reasonable doubt, that his version of events isn't true. That said, Heather and the rest of Caitlin's family are not giving up hope.
We are attending every one of his hearings. They were trying to get the homicide charge thrown out. There's also abuse of corpse and tampering with evidence. But since there was no cause of death at that point, or we didn't know how she died, they were trying to throw out the homicide. But our side was like, they fought against it. And they're like, we've had many cases where we don't even need a body to keep the homicide charges. So they stuck.
Only time will tell, and I will definitely continue to do updates in this case, especially as more information comes out about an upcoming trial. And maybe I will go to the trial, too. Let me know if that's something that you want me to do. It just kind of gives Brian Walsh vibes. If you're familiar with that case, he had killed his wife, and, I mean, the evidence was stacking. He had Google searches of, you know, how to dismember a body, how when life insurance pays out, how to get, I think he even had one, like, how to get blood out, all of these things. But then his defense team said, no, he woke up either in the middle of the night or the morning or whatever. She was unresponsive. He poked her. She rolled off the bed and was already and was dead. He panicked. So he, instead of calling the police, he decided to cover it up, which is exactly what Vincent is saying here. Just a little bit different of a variation. Spoiler alert, Brian ultimately was convicted because, hello, digital footprints don't lie. Your Google search history doesn't lie. And so he's long gone, locked up and away. Thank goodness. But it does kind of give similar vibes where it's like, why wouldn't your instinct, if you love your spouse, to be to call the police, to try to get help if it's an accident, even if it is an overdose? Who cares? I mean, I don't think you would go to jail for using nitrous oxide. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's something I need to look up. But I don't know. I'm curious to know what you guys think. As of right now, like I said, it still has not gone to trial. So I will be following this very closely and I will give you updates. Do you think that it is cut and dry and that Vincent did this and that his temper had just escalated? Do you think that he was just a complete moron and panicked in the moment and tried to hide and cover up her death? Let me know what you think. I will definitely keep you posted, though. Thank you so much today for listening to Caitlin's story. Let's continue to keep Heather and Caitlin's entire family in our thoughts and prayers. I want to thank Heather again for taking the time to speak with us today and allow us to share her twin sister's story. I am very close with my sister as well. My heart breaks for Heather. I can only imagine what she is going through, and I'm just devastated for her entire family. So let's hope that they do get the justice that they deserve, that Caitlin deserves, and that whoever did this to her is helped. Accountable in whatever way that needs to be. And I, again, will keep you updated. So make sure that you're following the podcast if you're not already. If you are watching this on YouTube, make sure that you hit that like button really quick, press subscribe so you don't miss the update or other future episodes. I have a brand new episode coming out tomorrow on my second true crime podcast, 10 to Life. New episodes between the two come out every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and every other Friday. So if you are a podcast listener and you are not following my second true crime podcast yet, after this episode, make sure that you search it in Spotify or Apple or whatever app you're listening on and press follow. That's 102 life, 10 to life. And then you'll have a brand new episode to listen to tomorrow, brand new case. And then for all of my Serialistly listeners, I will be back with you here on this feed on Thursday with headline highlights, where we are going to be talking about everything happening this week in true crime. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until the next one, be nice. Don't kill people. Don't hurt your partner, and just be a good person. Bye.